Very good morning to you all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving yet another opportunity to share wonderful words of life. Dear brethren, today we're going to see a parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So we all know and we would have heard this story since our childhood. When we have visited the churches or attended the Sunday class, this is several times. But today, we're going to see what's the real meaning of the parable. We know very well that in the parable, you see, a man was traveling. And on the way, some of the robbers came and, you see, beat him and stole all of his goods. And he was left alone on the road. But as he was left alone on the roadside, many passers-by came, especially first the priest and then the Levi. The both of the persons did not even bother to see whether the person was alive or dead. Did not even think to help the wounded man. So after this, there was a Samaritan who was passing on the same way. And he saw this wounded man. And he had pity and sympathy on him. And he wiped all his wounds. And poured oil on the wound. He gave him a little bit of wine to strengthen him. And later on, took him on a donkey, you see, on his own ass, on which he was traveling, you see, and brought him to an inn. And when he was brought him to the inn, he told the innkeeper to take care of this wounded man. And he gave him 2 pennies. He told, whatever extra is needed, please spend it. When I return again, you see, I will give you more. So this is the parable. So before going to the parable, dear brethren, we need to understand why actually Jesus spoke this parable, isn't it? See, whenever Jesus spoke a parable, he never spoke without any reason. So there is a lot of reason if Jesus has spoken a parable. Now, what is the reason? If you read in Luke 10 chapter, verse 25, we come to know actually what actually happened there. You see, you know very well that usually there was a friction between our Lord's ministry and many people opposed him, especially the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers and the high priest. So similarly, here also, the lawyer were actually opposing Christ and they were intending to catch hold of Christ in his words. And that is the time that a lawyer came before our master and asked him a question. What did he ask? Let us read Luke 10:25.
Luke 10:25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
You see, the lawyer came and stood before the master in front of everybody. And the question he asked was that, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the motive of his question, if you see, dear brethren, it was not with the intention, you see, to understand, you see, the real truth from the Bible. The verse clearly says, you see, he stood up and tempted him, saying, he wanted to, you see, catch hold of Jesus in his words to see if he's going to speak something wrong and immediately, you see, catch hold of him. But Jesus, we know very well, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He could, by seeing a man, he could completely analyze what was his real intention. And we all know the lawyer. See, lawyer means who? The one who is expert in the law, who is very thoroughly equipped with each and every intricate details of the law. Today also we have lawyers in the court now. You see, before the judge who present the case, the advocates, the lawyers. Who are these? These are the people who study the law actually. So similarly, during days of Jesus also, they were lawyers. Who are these? If you see, they were expert in the law that was given by Moses. They knew in and out of the law. Now here, a lawyer who was supposed to know everything from the law, he came and questioned something out of the law. You see? And we all know very well, you see, why this lawyer is putting this question. We might wonder. We all know that the character of a lawyer, you see, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're only outward people. They just pretended to be very well, very good before everybody. You see? And what was the, what do you say, the perspective of Jesus about them? Matthew 23, 24, 27, and 28.
Matthew 23, 24, 27, 28. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye all are like unto whited sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
Here, Jesus told clearly about the character. They are blind guides who are actually straining the gnat, you see. But they used to swallow the camel itself, it seems. And they were called as hypocrites. They are compared to whitewashed sepulchre, the grave. Looks very beautiful in the outside, but inside are all full of filth and all those things. They are beautifully decorated outward only to show off. Just to pretend and show that they're very holy people. They considered themselves as to be very, very righteous people. You see, but inside, they were actually not such type of people. And one such person, a lawyer who was like this, a hypocrite, came and questioned our Lord Jesus what he has to do, you see, to inherit eternal life. Actually, he should be knowing because he's expert in the law. Now, Jesus knew the reason why he was asking the question. Now, what did Jesus reply? Read verse 26.
Luke 10, 26. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou?
See, Jesus, instead of answering, he put a question saying, he said, what is written in the law? You are a lawyer, no? You should be knowing everything, no? You are the expert in the law. Instead of, you see, answering the question, you are simply pretending to put some questions to me, which actually you know very well. That's the reason he said, what is written in the law? You are a lawyer. How are you reading the law? You should be expert in the law. You might be knowing everything. Then why are you asking me this question? Have you not read the law properly? That was the answer, you see, given by Jesus. Now, immediately, you see, now the lawyer, simply what happened in front of everybody? You see, his face faded out. It was an embarrassing situation for him. Immediately, he answered what actually is written in the law to attain eternal life. In verse 27, he answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You see, now he clearly understood that he has no way to escape. He had to answer. Otherwise, you see, the people will think that this lawyer doesn't know even the basic things of the law. So, hence, he himself answered from the law, that you should love the Lord with all thy heart and neighbor as thyself. Jesus replied him now, saying in verse 28, you have said correct. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. You have given the right answer. This do, and thou shalt live. Jesus said, okay, you answered correctly. Now what do you say? You go and do the same. Now, in front of everybody, you see, Jesus brought out the answer from the mouth of the lawyer. Now, the lawyer was completely shamed before everybody. Now, he could not just walk away like that only. He wanted to show that he was somewhat a great person, a wise person. Hence, he put one more question to Jesus. Now, what was this question? Read verse 29, sister.
Luke 10:29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
See, now to justify himself, as if he's a very correct person, he wanted to really eagerly know more about the law. He said, okay, now who is my neighbor? That is the time, dear brethren, Jesus took the opportunity to tell who is actually every man's neighbor, and is told this parable that is recorded to us in Luke 10 chapter verse 30 to 35. Now, what is the parable? You see, what actually happened in the parable? You see, what is the meaning of the parable? So we'll study now. You see, dear brethren, we know very well when Jesus came at the first advent in Israel, there were actually two types of people who were living there. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the scribes, the priest, the Levites, and high priest, they were all the upper class of people. They considered all the other class of people as very low, and they dealt very cheaply with them. They considered them as sinners, and they were never able to have some fellowship with them. They tried to behave as if they're great persons, they're very holy person, they're very sinless persons, you see. And this is what they actually practically did. They considered only the holy people and the righteous people, the great people, the wealthy people, as their neighbors, you see. And they saw very low about this, you see, the tax collectors, you see, the prostitutes, you see, about those days. You see, they never considered the poor people, you see, as the neighbors. They considered them as unclean, not fit for the society. And Jesus took this opportunity, you see, to teach to the lawyer and all the people, everybody, who actually is every man's neighbor. Therefore, you see, Jesus tells this parable. You see, now read, sister, verse 30.
Luke 10:30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead.
Okay. Here, Jesus tells about a man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho. You see, he fell among the thieves. What did the thieves do? The thieves stripped him of his raiment, the clothes, and completely wounded him. Okay, if you see that, did the thieves kill him? No, the thieves did not kill him. You see, they left him half wounded, half dead, half murdered. You can say, you see, he's not completely murdered, but he's left alive, half dead. You see, a helpless condition. You see, next what happened? Verse 31, sister.
10:31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
So on the way, you see, who came with him, sir? First, a priest came. You see, priest. Who is the priest? Who works in the tabernacle? You see, who takes care of all the things in the tabernacle? You see, now he saw this man who is dead on the way. What did this man do? He never came near by him also. He passed by him on the other way, it seems. You see, thinking that if he touches this dead body, you see, he will become unclean. You see, instead of seeing whether he is really alive or not, not even having sympathy, it just passed away by other way, it seems. Devadren, what is actually the duty of a priest? Let us see what does the Bible say. Hebrews 5th chapter, verse 1 and 2.
Hebrews 5:1-2. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are not that are out of the way, for that he himself also encompassed with infirmity.
See, what is the duty of a priest, Simsa? To have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Why? Because he himself is compassed of that infirmity. His duty was to have sympathy on the ignorant people, on the sinners, to have compassion on them. But here, instead of showing compassion, mercy, love, grace, he just saw that person. He never bothered to see whether he is alive or dead. He just passed the other way. Next, what happened? Next, other person came with him, sir. And this person was a Levi. Now, what did he do? He also passed by. Isn't it? Instead of helping the wounded person, verse 32, he also passed by. Now, Levi, we know very well about a Levi. You see, Levi was actually the tribe from which the priest were actually selected. So, here Levi also should have shown sympathy. Isn't it? They are God's chosen people. You see, they should have sympathy. But here, he also did not bother to see what actually has happened. Devadan, so he passed by. So, next, what happened to him, sir? Verse 33, sister. Huh?
Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
You see, but a Samaritan was journeying the same way. You see, Devadan, when he saw him, what was his reaction? He had compassion on him. He had sympathy on him. Dear brethren, and what did he do? He came near the wounded person. And what did he do? Verse 34, sister.
And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him.
Took care of him. Thank you. See, if you see here, that Samaritan, you see, not only had compassion, you see, he came to the, you see, the wounded person. He, you see, washed his wound, he's bound his wound and poured oil and wine, you see, and set him his own beast. You see, we all know very well the ass or the donkey, only one person can sit on it. So, you see, the good Samaritan actually got down from the ass and put this wounded person on the ass and took him to inn and took care of him, it seems, Devadren. Such a wonderful thing, no? Devadren, we all know, you see, after he came to the inn, what did he do? What did he tell to the innkeeper? Verse 35, sister.
And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out two pennies and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.
You see, he told the innkeeper, Take care of him. If anything extra is needed, please spend it. When I return this way again, when I come again, mark these words, sir. He said, I will repay you. Dear brethren, we know very well that the relationship between the Jewish people, the Israel people, and the Samaritan was not good. The Jewish people never had communication or any relationship with the Samaritan. We know very well this incident when Jesus was feeling thirsty. He sat at the well of Jacob and he desired to have a little bit of water from the well. Then a woman of Samaria was there. She was actually drawing water from the well. And that is the time that Jesus asked her to give a little bit of water. Dear brethren, and the woman was surprised how a Jew is asking water from the Samaritan, because they had no, you see, relation with the Samaritan. Read John 4 chapter verse 9.
John 4, 9. The same, the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
See, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. You see, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan, dear brethren. Moreover, we also know an incident about where the disciples of Jesus, once they were hungry, they went to the village of Samaritan, you see, to get some food. But they were never welcomed there. They did not receive them because the Samaritans had no relationship with the Jewish people because they never treated them as their neighbor. So they were, you see, maintaining the distance. It is mentioned in Luke 9, chapter 52 and 53. No need to read. Just record it down for your studies later. So hence, by telling in this parable, when nobody held, you see, and nobody helped his own people, the Jewish people, you see, a Samaritan came and helped such a person. And Jesus, after telling this parable, you see the story, Jesus questions the lawyer. Now tell me, what do you think? Who is the neighbor? See, what was the reply of the lawyer? Verse 36 and 37, sister.
Which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise.
See, the liar had no other option but to tell the truth. Because if he had told something wrong or something else, other people would have questioned. Because everybody clearly understood what's the intention, what is the meaning of this parable, and who is really the neighbor. So he had to say that one who showed mercy is actually the neighbor. So Jesus said, you got the answer right, now go and do the same. Go and do the same is what? You're not doing the same. You can please do the same, dear brethren. So this is how Jesus rebuked the people there, dear brethren. So, dear brethren, now this is the parable. Now, what is the meaning of the parable? You saw, we know very well that Jesus spoke in parable. Whenever he spoke in parable. And without a parable, he never spake anything to the crowd. What was actually in these parables? Let us read Matthew 13, chapter 34 and 35.
Matthew 13, 34, 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that is might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept a secret from the foundation of the world.
See? So Jesus spoke in parables, and in all these parables, what did Jesus try to bring out? If you see, he clearly says that the secrets which have been kept from the foundation of the world, all these things Jesus spoke in parable, it seems. Therefore, in these parables, God's entire plan was hidden and Jesus brought it to light, it seems. Therefore, you see, the same question was asked by disciples to Jesus. What did Jesus reply to them? Matthew 13 chapter, sister, verse 10 and 11, sister. And later on, 16 and 17 also.
Yes, brother. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parable? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. 16 and 17. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye not hear them. Over, brother.
Thank you, sister. So here, Jesus clearly tells, what is the secret? In verse 10, 11, he said, you see, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You see, dear brethren, we all know that kingdom of God, we all have studied the subject of Daniel's second chapter and seventh chapter, where the king saw a beautiful multi-metallic image, whose image was struck by a stone at his feet, and the entire structure got destroyed. And afterwards, the stone which smote the image, it began to grow into a big mountain that it covered the entire earth. And Daniel says that is the kingdom of God that is going to be established on this earth, the fifth universal empire. It is a secret about this kingdom of heaven. Dear brethren, we know that God's kingdom has got two parts. One, a heavenly part. You see, other, a earthly part. The heavenly part is composed of two groups of people. First of all, it's primarily the church. You see, the Christ along with the church, the lacking 44,000, and also the great multitude. And when coming to the earthly kingdom, the visible face of the kingdom, it is the ancient worthies and the general word. So these are the, you see, the kingdom, the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom. Now, Jesus mentioned, you're saying, this is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. That means in all these parables, Jesus spoke something that is, which is related to the church. That is the kingdom of heaven part. That means about the church. Hence, this parable has got lot of lessons, you see, for us, the church class of people who are going for the heavenly salvation. Okay. Now, what is the meaning of this parable? Now, who is this man? Why did he travel particularly from Jerusalem to Jericho? Why is it given clearly that only from Jerusalem to Jericho? Why not given any other place? Why thief is mentioned? Where did he come and wound? He should have stole everything and he should have killed him, no? Instead of killing him, why it is given that he is wounded? Now, why Levi is given? Priest is given? Now, who is this Samaritan? Why donkey is given? They could have used a camel, no? Why take it to the inn? Then why did the Samaritan told, he gave only 2 coins. He could have given more coins, no? Or else he could have told, I'll come and give you later. Why did not he tell all these things? And he told, I will come again. Why did he use this particular verse, dear brethren? So what is the meaning of this one, dear brethren? We all know very well, for the Bible, Bible is his own dictionary. If you need to, you see, understand the Bible, all the code has to be taken only from the Bible, not from Google. Okay, no Google, only Bible. You see, now, what is the meaning of this parable? Let us try to decode one by one. First of all, it says he traveled from where? From Jerusalem to Jericho. Now we should understand and see. You see, what is this meaning of, you see, what do you say? Jerusalem to Jericho. Why this Jerusalem to Jericho is given? You see, correct, no? Any other place should have given, no? What is the meaning of Jerusalem in the Bible? Dear brethren, Jerusalem was a city of peace. We know very well, you see, David once when he was, you see, cooped by his own son Absalom, he left Jerusalem because he never wanted bloodshed to happen in Jerusalem. He wanted a peace to establish, a peace to be in Jerusalem. You see, therefore, Jerusalem means a foundation of peace. Read Hebrews 7:2, sister. Huh?
Hebrews 7:2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace.
See, king of peace. That means Jerusalem is foundation of peace. Therefore, you should have observed, the Muslim people, they say, Salam alaikum. You see, Salam alaikum means what? Peace be unto you. You see, so peace, it's a city of peace. Okay. Now, from Jerusalem to, where did he travel? To Jericho. What do you mean of Jericho in the Bible? Jericho is a cursed city. When the people of Israel actually enter the land of Canaan, this Jericho city was destroyed and it was never allowed to be built again. God told, if any man builds this Jericho again, you see, he shall lose his firstborn. This was a cursed city. It was never supposed to be built again. Joshua 6 chapter verse 26, sister.
6 and 26. And Joshua adjourned them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it.
See, cursed be the man that riseth and buildeth up the city Jericho. So the end city is a cursed city. Now tell me, who was the one who traveled from the city of peace to cursed city? It was our father Adam. And in Adam, we all, the entire mankind, dear brethren, that traveled from the foundation of peace, the peaceful condition of Eden, from that condition to the cursed condition, the death condition. But on the way, when he was traveling, what happened? A thief attacked him, it seems. You see, they stole him. They took off his clothes, dear brethren. So who are these thieves? We all know very well, these are the devil and the fallen angels who actually attacked mankind. What did they rip him off? You see, first of all, they took off his clothes. What is the cloth? You see, the robe of righteousness. Dear brethren, you see, in Garden of Eden, Adam had no clothes. So he was never guilty of sin. So he had that cloth, you see, where he can clearly, without any hypocrisy, he can approach God. That cloth of innocence, you see, was completely taken off first by this, you see, a thief. Then what happened? His health was taken. You see, mankind lost all their health. A beautiful Edenic condition was lost. You see, dear brethren, and the wealth also. You see, God had blessed Adam that blessed be, you see, this earth, you see, have dominion over the fish of the sea, you see, and the fowl of the air, and all of the things, you see. So here, dear brethren, if you see, all these are the things that actually, you see, the mankind lost, dear brethren. You see, therefore, the peace, the joy, the happiness, you see, the man had fellowship with God. He had everlasting life. God had given him the right to have the life-giving fruits, you see, and the kingdom, the dominion of the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the blessings, the perfection and holiness, all these things was completely robbed from mankind. And did they kill him? No. You see, mankind was never killed by the devil. He left him half dead. You see, God put a curse upon Adam, isn't it? We read that in Genesis 3, 17 to 19. No need to read. It says, you see, because you obeyed your wife's voice, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. In the sweat of thy brow, thou shall eat all the days of thy life, dear brethren. So he was in a cursed position. He was left in a cursed position, dear brethren. He was not completely dead on the spot. He never died then and there itself. You see, he was left half dead. It nearly took 930 years for Adam to completely finish the Broadway, dear brethren. And as mankind was walking in this Broadway, first, who came is himself? The priest. You see, what is the meaning of a priest? You see, this is the first thing which God gave for mankind to come out of this sinful, you see, cursed condition. That is the law. The law had so much of power that if anybody kept the law, they could have attained perfect life, isn't it? Eternal life. They could have come back from a sinful condition back to the perfection to God. But what did the law do? Nobody could attain this perfect law. Hence, law was a failure. Let us read Galatians 3:12 and Romans 3:20.
12. And the law is not of faith, but the man though does them shall live in them.
Very good, sir. See, the man that doeth the law shall live by the law. Okay, Romans 3:20, sister.
Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is knowledge of sin.
Thank you, sir. See, by the deeds of the law, no man is justified. You see, so hence, law was a failure. Law could not help mankind to come out of sinful and death condition, dear brethren. So, law actually was good, isn't it, by itself, but it did not help mankind. It did not benefit mankind of any way at all. Next, what happened, you see, Levi came with him. Levi was one of the tribe of Israel. So, hence, this represents the Israel, the chosen people of God. They were actually God's selected people, and through them, God had actually decided to bless the whole world. What did God say to Abraham? In thy seed, the whole world should be blessed. All the nations should be blessed. So Israel was a blessed nation. And through Israel, God had actually planned to bless the whole world of mankind. But what happened? That one also did not work out, dear brethren. You see, let us read Romans 9 chapter verse 4 and 5.
Romans 9 chapter 4 and 5. Who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and service of God and the promises. 5. Whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever. Amen.
See, these are the chosen people, Israel. But the Bible says, let it be Israel or a Jew or a Gentile. You see, nobody is justified by God. You see, so in Romans 3:10, it clearly says, you see, and it is written, there is none righteous, not one. So hence, the Levi, the Israel nation also could not help the world of mankind to come out of from this death condition because they themselves were cursed. Hence, on the same path, the next who came, it seems, is Samaritan. Now, we all know very well who is the Samaritan. If I ask you, you will clearly tell me, brother, this is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Jesus Christ came that way as a good Samaritan. What did he do? He helped that man to come out of that condition. Okay, now is there anywhere given in the Bible that Jesus is a Samaritan? Yes, we saw in John 4 chapter where Jesus was willing to drink water from a Samaritan. You see? But read this verse. This is very clearly when Jesus is called as a Samaritan. John 8:48, sister. Huh?
John?
John 8:48.
I need to take a brother. Oh, 1 minute.
You can read from the screen.
Yes, brother. John 8:48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?
See, Jesus was called as a Samaritan. They also told him that you have a devil. You see, he was an isolated person, dear brother, and they never took him to his fellowship. Therefore, we read in Isaiah 53:3 that he is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. You see, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Samaritans had no fellowship with the Jews. Similarly, Jesus was never, you see, welcomed among the Jewish people, dear brethren. Therefore, you see, Jesus, you see, is that good Samaritan. What did he do? He came and, you see, healed that wound and poured out oil and gave him wine and set him on his own vehicle. And what is the meaning of this one, dear brethren? You see, first of all, the Samaritan had sympathy on this wounded person. So similarly, what does the Bible say? You see, Jesus had compassion on the crowd. And moreover, Jesus came to this earth to die for mankind because he had sympathy on them. In Proverbs 8 chapter verse 30 and 31, it says that Jesus was actually rejoicing in the habitable part of this earth. And his delight was with the sons of men. Jesus always wanted to live among these people. Hence, when man sinned, he could not, see that pathetic condition of man. Therefore, he had sympathy and came near. He left that heavenly abode. He was ready to sacrifice that heavenly abode and came to this earth, willing to die, you see, for man. Okay. Now, what did Jesus do? He gave them the oil. You see, oil means what? Holy Spirit. He gave them the wine. Wine means what? Doctrine, dear brethren. Therefore, in Isaiah 61, it says, no, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. You see, he has sent me to bind the broken heart. You see, the broken heart, to heal the wounded, to proclaim liberty to the captivity, opening the house of prison. You see, so proclaim liberty, dear brethren, to appoint unto them that mount in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning. See, oil, garments of praise, isn't it? For the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called a tree of righteousness. So this is the purpose that Jesus came and he helped mankind come back to God. Now, what did he do? He took that man upon his own vehicle. What is that one? That is a ass, a donkey. Now, what do you mean by donkey in the Bible? You see, donkey in the Bible means the church. How? You all know very well that Jesus, when he came to Jerusalem, he actually sat upon a donkey and came inside the Jerusalem. He was welcome. You see, now, how was the donkey welcomed? Everybody put white cloths and put the palm branches and welcome. You see, and the Bible says that no man sat on this donkey. It is a very strange thing that somebody could sit for the first time and without any making trouble. This donkey walked very softly without any disturbance. How is it? Dear brethren, usually they actually put the load, the clothes, everything upon the donkey. But that day when Jesus was welcomed, it was a totally different thing. Instead of putting the clothes upon the donkey, that day the entire clothes were before the donkey on the road. It was a red carpet welcome. So it was totally surprised. And he was totally submitted to the Lord And he was very happy that everybody welcomed the donkey in such a way. Usually, the smite the donkey is not obedient, but here everybody welcomed him. So donkey was very submissive and came very silently to Jerusalem. Now, you know, actually, what the people were doing, the people were welcoming donkey. No. People welcomed the donkey. People were welcoming the Jesus who was actually sitting upon the donkey. Now, who is above us? You see? Who is our head? Jesus is our head. Just because Jesus is our head, we are welcomed. Isn't it? We all are being welcomed to your houses to take the classes and all. Why? Because, not because of us. We are all donkeys. We are all of no use. You see? This is the church. Who is above the church? Who is head of the church? Jesus Christ. It is because of the truth that we have welcomed everyone. Answer. Jesus took this man upon the donkey and brought him to the him. Now, this man came to the, you see, inn where it was treated, where he was completely healed upon this donkey. So similarly, it is through the church that the whole world will get salvation. Where is it given? Read Acts 15 chapter 14 to 18. Acts 15 chapter 14 to 18.
Acts 14 to 18. Sanyan hath declared, I'm sorry, how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that is residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who did all these things known unto God, all are all his works from the beginning of the world.
Thank you, sir. See, clearly says, you see, God first did visit the Gentiles to take a name, a group of people out of them. Once this little flock, the lack and followers are complete, immediately what will happen in Prince? God will build the tabernacle of David, Israel. Why? So that the residue of mankind, entire mankind, but again seek the Lord, it seems, dear brethren. So hence, it is through the church. Once the church is complete, that the world of mankind will be restored back to perfection. Okay. Now, that man brought the wounded person to an inn. What is that inn? You see, that is God's protection. The mankind today are under the supervision of God. You see, God has made a beautiful plan, not only for us, but for the whole world. The Bible says that God saw the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. Now, this Samaritan, when he left, what did he give? He told, take these 2 pennies, keep it with you. If I return, I'm going to return this way again, and I'll give you more. So what are the 2 pennies which Jesus gave and went at the first advent? Dear brethren, the 2 pennies are the 2 coins. You see, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a silver coin. We know the silver in the Bible is God's word, Psalms. You see, 12th chapter. Therefore, the Old Testament and the New Testament. These things were given for the mankind. You see, so they may, you see, be healed. You see, dear brethren, what did Jesus say? If I come again, I will pay you. You see, the Bible says, no. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that neither standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but delighteth his law of God. You see, and do meditate day and night. Dear brethren, we also have Deuteronomy 6 chapter 6 to 9, where it says that teach thy children about the God's words, even as they're sitting, even as they're walking, even as they're sleeping, every time let them meditate this God's words. So, In this scriptures only, there was eternal life. Read, sister, read John 5:39, sister.
John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
See, in the scriptures, what is there? Eternal life. So then, sir, he gave the two coins, sir. Okay. Now, what did the man say? If I come again, I will surely come again. I will pay you extra. What does the Bible say? Will Jesus come again second time? Huh? Everybody? Will Jesus come the second time? Yes. Jesus will come the second coming. He's already come now, isn't it? You see, what is the Bible says? Revelation 3:20, when it says to the seventh church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I will come and sup with him. So Jesus at his second advent will give him more. Give him more means what? He gave two coins at the beginning, but now he will give more. That means what? At the second advent of Jesus, Jesus is giving the strong meat in due season, dear brethren. You all remember when Jesus was resurrected, you see, he appeared to the disciples. They were all fishing in the sea. You see, Jesus called them to the seashore, and by the time the disciples came, already the food was ready. So this is the second advent of Jesus, isn't it? The first time, the first advent, the disciples were fishing. The second advent, the second time, disciples are again fishing. The harvest work is going on. And Jesus calls them to the seashore. This time, no need to worry. First time, he did not give food, so much of food. But second advent, he himself is preparing the beautiful and delicious food, very strong food, dear brethren. You see, at the seashore where the fishes are separated, you see, the good and the bad fishes are separated. The food is ready. You see, only thing is that we need to come and eat. That is what mentioned is Luke 12, chapter 35 to 37. You see, where it says that blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make him to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. You see, dear brethren, Jesus himself shall come and serve meat in due season. Hence, what all strong food we are eating, it is not ours. It is our Lord who has returned at his second advent and giving this strong meat in due season. Hence, Bible is a beautiful treasure. Jesus himself tells that new and old things will come out of this treasure. Read Matthew 13:52, sister.
Matthew 13:52. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is an instructor unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is the householder which brideth forth out of his treasure things new and old.
You see, what did Jesus say? Huh? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure the word of God, old and new. From the New Testament, the Old Testament, bring out meat in due season, dear brethren. Isn't it, dear brethren? See, for so many days, what have you been eating? Isn't it? They're eating strong food. You see, instead of eating and drinking the same milk doctrines, you see, we are now eating strong meat. What did Apostle Paul say? Isn't it? He said in Hebrews 6 chapter 1 to 3, let us leave out the basic principles of doctrines. What are the basic principles? Repentance, you see, and laying of the same foundation, baptism, you see, resurrection of the dead, eternal punishment, judgment. These things all we'll speak if God permits. But let us eat and speak about the strong doctrine which really helps us to build Christ-likeness. Hebrews 5:14, sister. Hebrews 5:14.
Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
You see, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, isn't it? So as Christians, we need to grow day by day, not just remain in the same way. Increase in knowledge also, that helps us to increase in likeness of Christ. Who are these people who desire strong meat? Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil? These are the people who are able to discern what is good and what is evil, dear brethren. So, dear brethren, this is the strong meat which Jesus is giving at the second event after his return. So, this is the hidden secret about the kingdom of heaven that is given in this parable. So, who is my neighbor? If you see, everyone is everybody's neighbor. Dear brethren, may the Lord add his blessings to the understanding of his holy words. May Lord bless all your dear brethren. We thank our Lord for giving this opportunity. May Lord bless these words. Thank you.